It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Good afternoon, San Rafael, and happy holidays. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
I'm Ruby Joe.
And I'm Harper Clementine.
Welcome to Good Day from the Bay, and this is our first annual Ho Ho Holiday Special. We have two guests with us today. First, we have Luke and Kristen in the studio.
You can say hi, guys.
Hello.
They're both, we have two completely opposite ends of the spectrum here at Dominican University. We have a senior nursing major who's graduating this semester, and a freshman basketball player who's just kind of new to this whole college thing.
Yeah, Luke, do you want to tell us a little bit about how basketball is going so far before we jump right into our holiday special?
Yes, we're off to a great start. We beat Chico State last weekend. They're a top-ranked team, and our next game is tomorrow night, a home game versus Notre Dame. So we're real excited.
Woo, go Pangs.
Yeah, go Pangs. That's awesome.
And Kristen, you want to give us a little insight about your graduating in nursing?
I graduate next Thursday at 5:30 at night out of Angelico, so it's really exciting. I'm ready to get into the real world.
Oh, that's so special. Is your family coming down and anything like that?
A lot of people are coming up from SoCal. I have about over 20 people driving up.
20 people?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, so we're going to get into a little bit of a U.S. news quiz. So it's how much do you know about your U.S. national holiday?
No judgment, right?
No judgment whatsoever. All right, are you guys ready? So you're gonna say ding. You're gonna say ding when you know the answer to this question.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
As ready as we'll ever be.
Yeah. So there's 10 questions here. Okay. So the first question is: the first Labor Day holiday took place in which city? A. New York. B. Philadelphia, C, Chicago, and D, Washington, D.C.
You guys got it. You got it.
I say, what were the first three choices?
Okay, let's do one more time. Let's go through it. So A, New York, B, Philadelphia, C, Chicago, D, Washington, D.C.
Just think, nice, long, and hard.
I would just guess New York.
What's your guess, Lucas?
My guess is Washington, D.C.
Kristen, you're right. It's New York.
Yay.
Keep your tallies for your points. So Kristen at 1 point.
Gotcha.
All right. Next question. Every Memorial Day, a national monument of remembrance takes place at what time? A, 11. B, 1. C, 3. And D, 5.
Three.
I'm going with 11.
Kristen is on fire.
Wow.
I do not know how you know these answers right now. It is three. It's three. All right. Good. So you have 2 points over there. All right. Okay. Next question. Come on, Luke. You can catch
up. I'll pick it up.
You still have some time. All right. Ready. How many turkeys are consumed each year on Thanksgiving?
Like overall throughout the world?
Yeah. So you have, no, this is U.S.
The U.S.
So A, 15 million. B, 37 million.
Oh my gosh.
C, 46 million. Or D, 78 million.
15 million.
Luke?
46.
Luke!
Okay.
Luke, did you finally get one?
He finally got one.
Very good. You know, I wouldn't have guessed that one for the life of me.
There you go.
That's kind of gross, though.
I know. Yeah, well, did you also know each Thanksgiving, Americans eat about 46 million turkeys, but turkey is also a popular dish on other holidays and eat around 22 million on Christmas and 19 million on Easter.
Those poor turkeys.
How many turkeys?
Did you guys hear? Well, I don't think you guys would have heard. Back home in Southern California, I'm still my brain's not really catching up. Finals week. Back home in Southern California, I was getting my hair done, and my hair lady's like, "Yeah, I usually go to the grocery store right after Thanksgiving, and I go get the meat because it's half off, and yada yada yada." Go to my hair lady, and she's like, "I went to Pavilions this morning, grocery store at home," and she's like, "All of their meat went bad.
Oh.
Everything in their freezers went bad because the freezers broke." And so that was about, I don't know, like 200-300 pounds of meat just wasted, thrown away.
Might I say I'm the only Northern California person in this room?
This is true.
This never happened.
Yeah, I know.
Majority.
I feel like very scared right now.
I'm scared.
We're good people.
all of you in this room. All right. Next question. So Kristen's at 2 points. Luke's at one. Come on, Luke. For the tiebreaker right
here. There was like 10 questions.
Yeah, we'll keep going. I'm just saying he's going to tie you up
right
now.
It's just early encouragement.
It's early. Okay, which U.S. president declared Columbus Day as a national holiday? A, Herbert Hoover. B, Franklin D. Roosevelt. C, John F. Kennedy. And D, Lyndon B. Johnson. Anyone? Anyone have any ideas? Take a little stab at it.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Or the other president. Oh, Hoover. I don't know who that is. So
okay,
I'm with Hoover.
Okay, Franks, do you want to help him out here? Because they're both wrong.
It's Franklin D. Roosevelt.
There you go.
You ding dongs.
So no one gets that point right there.
That's fine.
All right. Next question. Which president changed the name of the holiday celebrating American veterans from Armistice Day to Veterans Day? A.
Where did you get these questions from?
Online. This is a holiday question everyone needs to know with this holiday season.
Okay.
A. Harry S. Truman. D. Dwight D. Eisenhower. C. John F. Kennedy. And D. Richard M. Nixon.
Eisenhower.
I'm feeling Eisenhower as well.
Okay, well, you're both correct.
Yay! Whoa.
So I guess you both will get points on that. So we'll go 3-2.
Okay.
Give each of you, you know, some, you know, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Build it up a little bit. This is a true or false question now. Ready?
50% chance of getting it right. All right.
Memorial Day is the most popular day for grilling out in the U.S. True or false?
False.
I think false too.
Wow. There you go.
Two in a row.
All right. Okay.
Good job. This. Now you're starting to realize what's going on.
Do you
here.
Know what day it is? Is it 4th of July?
Hey, you can't be asking questions. You're the person asking questions.
Okay, moving on. So the score is now 4-3. All right. The current New Year's Eve ball weighs 11,875 pounds. But how much did the original one weigh?
That's a real
that's
number?
That's a real weight? I'm telling you.
Wait,
this is
it. Oh, keep going.
No, that was the end of the question.
I had to make up a number?
No. A, 100 pounds. B, 700 pounds. C, 1,500 pounds. Or D, 4,000 pounds.
1,500 pounds.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, it is, Ruby Joe.
Okay, well, let's hear yours, Kristen.
What was the third one?
1,500.
Oh, what was the fourth one?
4,000.
That one. 4,000.
Okay. Hey, you want to help him out there,
Harper? I feel like your guys' freaking mom. Jeez Louise. 700 pounds, people.
700.
Doesn't that sound about
700
reasonable?
700 to 11,000? That's a big jump right there.
Yeah, that's why I was a little shocked.
How you didn't get
my
it.
My breath was taken
tough
away.
Tough question.
Tough.
Hey, but we got some tough competitors.
Yeah. We do. That's how we brought
all
in
right,
the smartest.
Next question. Here we go.
Next question. Ooh, okay. Spicy.
You got his sassy pants on today.
Right? All right. Next question. Wait, what's your score? You're at 5?
Yeah.
And you're at 4?
Yeah.
Close. Close okay. call.
It is close game. We have 3 more questions. So come on, Luke. Try to catch up.
Okay.
She's on you.
How many feet high was the tallest tree ever displayed at Rockefeller Center to celebrate Christmas? A, 50 feet. B, 100 feet. C, 150 feet. Or D, 200 feet? Do, do, do.
150.
Do, do, do.
200.
Oh. Hey, Harper, we're going to call your help one more time.
I just want you guys to just keep this in your head just for future reference. 100 feet.
100.
Mm. That's the magic number.
Wow.
100.
100.
100.
Did That's you okay. know? Better luck next time.
Rockefeller Center displayed the 100-foot tree in 1999. And the first Rockefeller Christmas tree was featured in 1931. Mm. So this Christmas tradition in New York has been around for a really long time. Next question we have. During what year was Martin Luther King's day first celebrated?
Wait, can you say the question again?
During what year was Martin Luther King Day first celebrated? A, 1980, B, 1983, C, 1986, or D, 1990?
1990.
86.
You sound like you know this.
Ding, 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 ding. Lucas with the win. Now we are all tied up at 5-5.
There we go.
So this question is true or false, and this is our tiebreaker, ladies and gentlemen. This is our tiebreaker. All right. President's Day, called Washington's birthday by the federal government, is celebrated on George Washington's birthday. True or false?
False.
True.
Kristen!
You are the champion,
my friend.
You guys
don't have any gifts, do you? No
our presents.
Yeah. Our presents is
a
present.
This is the holiday season, Kristen.
Yes.
And because it's the holiday season.
Tell me more, Harper.
It's a time to reflect on what you're grateful for. And it's not the things you have in life, it's who you have.
Thank you.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
that was
Mom.
My gift to you,
Harper
a little wisdom.
Harper couldn't have said it any better.
Well, that really
Thank
was.
You. That was
I
a gift of
so
wisdom,
much.
And I don't give it out much. Wait.
I don't give it out often.
There we go.
She gives out pretty often to me because I need her wisdom like every 7 seconds of my
We're
day.
We're practically Siamese twins, though. We're like literally attached to the hip.
She's repeated my sentences and continued them over and over this week. I can't even count countless times.
Yeah, true life, I'm a mind reader. Anyway, moving into our next holiday game, it's what I like to call the Christmas Song Showdown.
Bump, bump, bum.
This is kind of just something we created last minute, but I thought sounded like a lot of fun, and Ruby Joe over here thought it sounded pretty fun. This one is a kick.
People
so
are
going to
be hooting and hollering.
It's
over
a five-song game. We got 5 songs of our choice. We picked it.
Yeah.
We're going to play the song, and we're going to stop it. And the first one to say ding or whatever the heck it is you want to say, they just got to finish it off. Whoever finishes it off and does the words correctly wins a point.
Finishes the lyrics of the song?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So we're going to go into our first song. It's a classic. I feel like you guys will know it. Finish the lyrics.
Frosty the Snowman.
Keep going.
I got nothing else.
I only know Frosty the Snowman are the next words.
We're off to a bumpy start. It's Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know he came to
life
one
day.
Wow.
Okay, so
should have known that.
Song one, we're at 0-0.
And 0-0.
Next song is a classic. Kristen, if you don't know this, I know someone will be very disappointed in you.
Lucas, you probably won't get this considering you've never seen the movie.
Oh.
Sorry. You're down
this
a little bit.
This is unfair.
The beginning of this song is the hardest part.
It's okay. You don't know when it's going
to
stop yet.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go.
what they're going to say.
Keep going. You got it. You got it. It's going on the tip of your tongue. What they're going to say.
Let the storm.
Do you know the rest of that?
I have not seen the movies, and I.
You know, we're gonna give that to Kristen because Kristen knew. She just didn't know how much she had to know. It's. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. You know, that special someone would have been very upset with you.
Yeah, that's a really good song, and I can't
believe you did it. I'm sorry, Charlotte.
We're gonna give that song to Kristen.
I don't know. Maybe we should give it to Lucas because Kristen had no idea.
Kristen said what they're going to say.
She tried.
I think it needs to be 50-50.
He didn't even know the word. He didn't even know the word.
I mean, I'll take the point.
No, we got it's 0-1, Kristen. Now we're going on next to our third song. If you guys don't know this, are you guys religious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then I hope you really do get this.
Depends what religion.
Are you guys Christian?
Yes.
Some Christianal, Christian Catholic?
Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Christian. Okay, then you should know this.
We got this. You got this.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Finish that lyric.
Holy infant,
so tender and mild.
Sleep in infinite peace.
There's still
peace.
One.
Peace.
Sleep in
heavenly peace.
I said it was like 50-50.
That was 50-50. You did good, but like Lucas sang it a little bit.
Oh, you're playing favoritism over here.
I'm trying to give him some help.
I see how it is. You're
being, yeah, you're being a little biased.
You lost the last game. I feel bad.
Yeah, so you let him take a point when he didn't finish a song? He said he didn't even know Frozen, and you're like... Point.
I feel bad for people who have never seen
we'll
Frozen.
Go 50-50, okay. one and one.
So it's 2-1 Kristen.
Or 2-1 Kristen, right there.
There you go.
Okay. You got two more songs. You guys need to really stuff up your game because these are
you
classics.
You guys get really competitive. I'm just chilling out, you
hints.
Know?
If you don't know this, you guys are... I have no faith in humanity.
Oh. These are classics.
Oh. Is this Jessica Simpson's?
No.
Mariah Carey?
Yes.
I don't want a lot for Christmas, but there is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own,
more than you could ever know. Finish lyrics.
Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is you.
There we go.
Kristen
literally got the whole tune.
Yeah, she got "Make My Wish Come True."
Okay. No, she said "Make My Wish Come True." All I want for Christmas, and then he said, "Is you."
Yeah, they kind of finished each other off.
Oh my gosh! So
it's a duet.
So we're gonna do 3-2 now.
I think that's just how this is gonna go.
Yeah, duet. It's 2-2. Yeah,
okay, 3-2.
I'm fine with that.
And then, anyway. I mean, hey, and then God forbid we go into like a tiebreaker at this last song, then we'll just have to find a new song.
Yeah, which won't be that hard because there's a lot of Christmas songs. I have the tip of my tongue.
Oh, we'll sing them for you. Now we got our final song. Lucas, you have a chance to really step up and come back and make it a tied game. Or Kristen, you could just take home all the bacon and just win. Take
all the bacon as if just your presence.
As if, yes. Like, yeah, my presence and the bacon. You get to bring that all home with you today. So, fifth and final song, Use Your Noggin.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Finish the lyrics.
You can say there's no such thing as reindeer.
What?
No, that's not it. No, that's not it.
You can say there's no such thing as
Santa.
Yes.
Oh.
But as
for
you
and me
grandma.
I believe.
Yeah, it is.
That would be really crutched you guys through that.
I get the point.
Yeah, I think
I get the point because they had no idea.
Yeah, we're going to call game final score. Kristen with 3 points, Luke with 2 points, and Kayla.
Ruby Joe with one.
The final score right there.
So we're going to go into a quick commercial break. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Ruby Jo.
I'm Harper Clementine.
And we will be right back.
Holidays, San Rafael. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I am Ruby Jo.
And welcome to our Ho-Ho Holiday Special.
Previously, we had two of our guests on. We had Luke and Kristen, and we did a holiday U.S. quiz, and then we did a sing-along with us to see who could, you know, have the best finishing of the lyrics. And so Kristen ended up winning both of the games for us.
This is true.
This happened.
That was really fun that we had going on. Now we're going to jump back into our news stories.
Yeah, go back to a little bit serious stuff, because even though it is the holiday season, it does not mean that the news around the world stops.
Exactly. So to start with our first little set of news, this one is actually like really like cheerful. I thought I'd start with a cheerful,
exciting news.
Very cute. So I quote, "To another little girl." That's what a three-year-old Ariana of Winterport, Maine, said when her father, Josh Smith, asked her where she wanted to donate her hair. It was then that the dad of two realized his toddler had a heart that was too big for words. "I do charity called Extra Life, where I play video games, to help raise money for kids," the dad said. Ariana happened to be sitting on my lap when the video game played, showing a little girl who was bald, laying in a hospital bed with tubes in her. When their daughter showed curiosity, Smith and his wife, Crystal, explained how medicine was and what made the child into the video lose her hair. Without a second thought, Ariana said, "Oh, well, she can have some of my hair," Smith said. "And that's when my wife clued me in that there's organizations where we could donate their daughter's hair."
That is a really sweet story. It's a feel-good. I love
those. It's a feel-good. A three-year-old donates to another young girl.
Being so selfless. It's funny. I actually wrote an article not that long ago, but it was about saying how during the holiday season, how good it is to hear feel-good stories, because there's so much sad stuff going on in the news.
Yeah.
Very depressing, and it just really brings you down, but it's always nice to hear those little gentle reminders, especially from kids like that are like that. Very innocent.
Yeah.
Super innocent. Not really aware of what they're doing is so great. So that was so cute.
It was really cute. I saw it and I was like, this is a feel-good story.
Do you have any other feel-good stories?
I actually do have another feel-good story. Let me pull it up.
Okay, how about you save your feel-good story, because I don't have really a feel-good story, but it's important. It's important for national security. So as we've reported previously on the show, we've been kind of up to date with this whole ISIS crisis. And the Lebanese authorities have come to arrest the wife of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the man who spearheaded and is the head of the Islamic terrorist group and his sweeping rampage across Syria and Iraq. The woman is one of al-Baghdadi's two wives, and her arrest came as a part of a planned operation and described her as a powerful figure who is heavily involved in ISIS. Not much is known about the reported wife, including her involvement to degree with the terrorist group, if any, but they will be gaining some intelligence with her within the next couple days in her captivity. Also, the UN and members of Lebanon will be offering a $10 million reward for anybody who can offer up any information about Abu Baghdadi's, and the U.S. State Department's Reward for Justice program will refer to him that way.
Wow.
Yeah, so his name, again, is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, but they call him Abdu Dua.
That's very confusing, but, you know.
A lot of vowels.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, so $10 million for any information. The U.S. is involved, the U.N. is involved, and Lebanon's involved.
So this is a big crisis, everyone. Big.
Yep, big news, though. I think that's really good towards stopping ISIS, because they've really started to take over. I mean, like I just said, Iraq and Syria, and Lebanon's like, heck no, get out.
Yeah.
We're not letting you take over our country.
Exactly.
So it's very, I mean, could be good, could be bad. But anyway.
We'll bring
feel
us.
Feel good movie. Yeah. Feel bring good us, news.
It's kind of a feel good. It's kind of not. It's sad, but it also has a happy ending. It depends which way you look at it. So starting off with, witnesses are crediting a family's German Shepherd for shielding its owners from a gunfire in an Atlanta road rage incident. That last Friday, the incident began with an altercation on Atlanta Road, according to CNN affiliate. The driver followed the family to a nearby strip mall and began shooting, according to an unnamed witness interviewed by the station. They just rolled up. They pulled out a gun and started clapping, the witness said, using a slang term for shooting. The witness said that the dog jumped in front of the children and the woman in the car. Surveillance video captured the dog trotting off to die behind a nearby building. I quote, "They were fired upon and their family was terrorized," Atlanta police said. "They survived that to only find their pet is now gone. It is sad for the whole family, especially the day after Thanksgiving. No arrests have been made."
So sad. Oh,
I know. It's really good that, you know, the kids and the woman survived, but it's really sad that the dog just like leaps in front.
I mean, like in all actuality, I mean, it's It's better to not lose the lives of children or a mother or anything of that nature, but it's still sad when it's a dog. I mean, so loyal. That just shows how loyal and selfless, yeah, and the instincts of it. It's just, it warms your heart. How can it not? You know?
I know. It's a feel-good, feel-bad type of story.
Yeah, but I mean, feel-good for the most part.
So I have a sad story leading into the next one we have going on here.
It's okay. We'll bring it back around.
We'll bring it back around.
Yeah. Just give it to us. Lay it on us.
Two children and one adult died when two school buses crashed yesterday in East Knoxville, Tennessee. The names and ages of the victims have not been released, but law enforcement officials confirmed that the children were between kindergarten and third grade. The adult was an aide on the bus. According to the preliminary investigation, the bus from Chilliwe was traveling east on Asheville Highway when, for some unknown reason, it made a sharp left-hand turn and crossed over the concrete medium. The Knoxville Police Department said in a statement last evening, the bus then struck the side of the bus from Sunnyview, which was traveling west. The Sunnyview bus flipped onto its side and continued sliding it and came to a rest across both westbound lanes. Two female children, one adult female, from the Sunnyview bus were pronounced dead on the scene. Two children and one adult were transported to the UT Medical Center for treatment and multiple injuries. 18 additional children from the Sunnyview bus were transported to a non-emergency children's hospital. They were suffering from cuts, scrapes, bruises, and some other non-life-threatening injuries. Several parents of the students from Chilliwe bus took their children to the children's hospital for observation. The driver of Chilliwe bus was also transported to the UT Medical Center for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Fatal accident investigators from Knoxville Police Department are investigating the crash last evening along with members of the Tennessee Highway Patrol.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's a heavy story.
Yeah. It's never good when like buses with children are involved.
Have you noticed on the back of school buses lately, they've been saying, I've inspected this bus and there's no sleeping children?
Yes, I saw that.
I keep reading that and I don't understand what's going on. Do you have any idea what's going on with that?
I was kind of thinking about that because was I with you when we saw that sign?
Maybe, because I've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
Very frequently.
So I saw it, and maybe it's because, like, because the seats are so high sitting on the bus that a kid could be falling asleep and not get off of their bus stop. And maybe kids have, like, gone missing or they've been, like recently, like,
traveled
upon.
Well, I thought accidents.
Accidents
when someone hits you, because like people are more careful. It's like with the baby on boards, you know, like people tend to drive a little bit more cautiously.
Yeah, but that is saying that there aren't any kids on board, you know.
Yeah, but it's saying like that there's no kids on board, like, so it's a, I don't know,
so it's okay to hit the bus.
I don't know, like that it's like, because, you know, well, or even, I don't know, I'm a little baffled by it.
We'll investigate it.
Yeah,
and we'll come back.
Yeah, we'll come back with some information, because I just thought that was so interesting. Today I just had the most beautiful luck of being stuck in an hour's worth of traffic for a 5-minute drive.
The rain.
Absolutely ridiculous. But I saw like 9 school buses and it all had the signs, and I like peeked in. I'm like, are there really no kids sleeping?
Are there really no
kids? Are you sure? Like, I mean, what am I going to gain from it? I still thought, I just was curious though. Little journalist in me was just very curious.
Curiosity
killed the cat. Satisfaction brought it back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a quote you got going on there.
Thank you. That's what my mom
I've only heard the first part. I've never heard the second part.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
All right, moving on into our next segment.
Our next story. I have another news story for you.
Oh, you have another story. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got another news for you. It's kind of a tech story, though.
Okay.
So bringing in the tech. Okay, so a spacecraft is set to awake from hibernation soon as it prepares for an upcoming close encounter with Pluto. NASA's New Horizons spacecraft is set to awake on December 6th. From the last of its 18 hibernation periods and prepare for its initial approach towards Pluto, which will be taking place on January 15th. The spacecraft is scheduled to come close as 6,200 miles from the surface of Pluto on July 14th, 2015, the closest any man-made object has come to the dwarf planet. The mission marks the first visit outside Neptune's orbit, which consists of Pluto and thousands of objects that have not been identified. The spacecraft has, over the last 9 years, frequently gone into hibernation for various amounts of time, ranging from 36 to 202 days, all of which adds up to 5 years in total. To help conserve power and allow scientists to make plans for exploration into space. It transmits a beep once a week to alert scientists that it still functions properly. Once awakened on December 6th, New Horizons will transmit radio signals that will reach the Mission Control Center located at Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory in Maryland. In about four hours at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, scientists plan to use the next 6 weeks after it awakes to check its memory, navigation, and other functions, starting the observation phase in January, taking photos and measurements of the dwarf planet and its moons while also observing the atmosphere and how it interacts with the sun.
Wow.
Well, you
know,
that
is very techie.
Pluto going from a planet to not a planet to back to a planet.
To a comet, to a meteor, to a planet, to God knows what else.
Yeah, it just keeps going back. I remember when it was a planet, when you had to memorize it. And then you had to memorize it not being a planet, and now it's a planet again. And
yeah, it's a little back and forth. They just need to kind of figure it out. Establish it and leave it alone.
Exactly.
Like, they could be wrong, they could be right, but who cares?
Well, with this new technology, them getting as close as they've ever been before should help figure that out.
Maybe. Plot twist, it's the biggest planet in the solar system.
Plot twist.
Wouldn't that be funny?
It's not really a dwarf planet. We just couldn't see it.
It's bigger than the sun.
That would be crazy.
I would LOL.
LOL.
All right, moving into our next segment. Do you have another story? Or are we ready for sports?
We are ready for sports.
Beautiful. That's what I love to hear.
That's what I love to say. So I got one sports news coming for you right now. Ready?
Okay, beat it to me.
It's kind of a sports health kind of mixture today.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Okay. Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Jovan Belcher shot and killed his girlfriend before killing himself 2 years ago.
Oh, my.
Pathology reports shows he likely had chronic traumatic and CTE, which is like a head injury.
Okay.
Okay. Scientists believe repeated head trauma can cause CTE, a progressive a disease of the brain. Symptoms include depression, aggression, and disorientation. But so far, scientists can definitely diagnose it after death. The legal fight over head injuries in football has made its way to high school arena and is heading to court. A former Illinois high school football player has filed a class action lawsuit against the Illinois High School Association over concussion protocols and management. I quote, "It's the first ever class action filed against the state high school association," end quote, said attorney Joseph Siperut, who filed on behalf of 29-year-old Daniel Buchal. Siperut also is the attorney who filed the class action against the NCAA over concussions. The one that has reached a preliminary settlement with the NCAA that could change the rules of college game and is approved by a judge. I quote, "Our goal is to bring the fight to a high school level," end quote, Spiritual said.
Wow. I mean, I'm a huge believer, and I do believe that people who play football or any college sport for that matter, they are prone to injuries that will affect them in the long run.
Yeah, concussions are should not be taken lightly anymore.
No, they should not be. I mean, they're saying that Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, I watched a documentary, and this poor man played football at Harvard. Things were great. Everything was great. But they overlooked just a couple concussions, and now he has Lou Gehrig's disease. And he can't do anything. He has to type what he's thinking with using a sensor on his head to a computer screen.
Wow.
Completely confined. Has no benefits, no help. And medical things like that, I mean, those are expensive. The technology it requires to function and be considered normal in society is expensive. So
yeah,
I mean,
sad. That things should not be overlooked. Is what.
That's the theme. If you think you have a concussion and you're an athlete or non-athlete, go see a doctor.
Out. Exactly.
Period. Done.
Go do it.
That's it. All right.
Want me to bring in my health for the holidays?
You can bring in health for the holidays.
A little quick
I think your
for the
health, it's pretty important. It's a little tip. I mean, because holidays are coming around, especially with Christmas, sugar seems to be something we all drift to, whether it's the gingerbread houses, you sneak a couple finger licks of frosting, or it's the candy canes you just can't put down. I know at my house we have candy canes all over the tree, and when you're just sitting there watching TV, you can't help but just
Even the hot chocolate when you add the marshmallows
and the whipped cream and the thick milk and the... Who else knows?
Sugar
what
just keeps adding up.
And then there's the fruit bread. What's that bread? That gross stuff called the fruit cake.
The angel food cake.
No, it's that they make fun of it. The fruit cake. I think it's just fruitcake, where it's brown, it has all those little fruit pieces in it, and it's, like, hard.
Well, I don't really eat fruit, so I don't...
Well, never mind.
I don't eat a lot of fruit.
Never mind. Anyway,
all right.
Bring in your sugar story.
Okay. Sandy Lennard couldn't wait to get her next fix. She would wake up with cravings, search her hiding spots when she felt low. In her kitchen, her car, her desk, at her school. Lennard's drug of choice? Sugar.
I heard that.
While food addiction is still a controversial label, recent research estimates that more than 8% of women ages 45 to 64 could be considered food addicts. Sugar may play on the other reward center of the brain, causing the same highs and withdrawals as illegal drugs.
Wait, what?
Yeah, sugar is something like it gives you the highs, you know, like when you eat chocolate when you're sad type of thing, and it gives you that high.
Yeah.
That's what there's research are starting to say, that sugar is doing the same thing as illegal drugs.
I disagree. I completely disagree with that. Sugar is sugar.
All right. So I quote, "The effect of sugar on the reward center is to cause changes that will literally keep you an addict," end quote, said Dr. Pam Peek, author of The Hunger. But there's more hope for people like Lennard. Early studies suggest that it's possible to retrain your brain to stop craving junk food or the fixes. Senior scientist advisor at Elements Behavior Health Center said, "It's not a diet, it's just a recovery nutritional approach. So what we simply do is we look for all the foods that are going to make you look absolutely satisfied, cut your carb cravings, give you the pleasure so you don't have to care about the sugar anymore, because you don't have to because you have countless alternatives." For more information about Dr. Peek's recovery diet, go to her website. For more food addiction treatments at centers like Malibu Vista, go to Elements Behavior Health.
Wow, that was a nice little recap.
So if you think you're a addict to sugar, check it out.
I'm totally... You can be an addict to anything. You can be an addict to, like, biting your fingernails. There's no rehab for that. It's just called self-discipline at that point. Rehab when it's, like, going to kill you, and it's, like, your teeth are falling out because of it, and your face is, like, bleeding with sores. Like,
I mean, sugar's not the best thing for you, though.
But it's not something that's going to, like, kill you. Like, I mean, anything could kill you, though.
That's true.
Like, drinking too much orange juice could kill you, because that's too much, like, fruity carbs and sugar and God knows what else. Like, eating Chipotle can kill you because there's just too much trans fat. Like,
Chipotle in that category.
I'm just saying anything can kill you. Drinking too much water can kill you.
Okay, well, yeah, that one's a known fact.
Yeah, and they don't tell you have to go to rehab for it.
That's true.
So that's my argument. Water.
Drink water, but in moderation.
Yeah, everything in moderation, people. Yeah. But with that said, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back with some more festivity ho-ho holiday specials. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
And we'll be right back.
Bothered me anyway. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break the loop. No right, no wrong, no rule. For me, I'm free. Let it go, let it go. I am one with the wind and sky. Let it go, let it go. He'll never see me cry. Here I stay, here I stay. Let the storm rage on.
let it go.
We had a little bit of some sassy Elsa going on there. Gotta love a little Let It Go. You know, it's just kind of the theme of life.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. I'm Harper Clementine, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
And I'm Ruby Joe. Welcome back.
It's our Ho-Ho Holiday Special, and we're going back into our holiday segment. Last segment, we were talking about a little news, a little health, a little sports, just kind of wrapped up all the serious stuff, you know. And so now we're going to be going into the fun stuff.
The fun stuff,
the
once
fun
again.
Stuff, yes. So, entertainment's going to be a little different. Instead of talking about celebrities, I'm going to be talking about Christmas movies. We all know when December rolls around, there's the must-watch Christmas movies. Whether it's something that your family watched together, whether it's something you pick up on your own, or even your favorite actor or actresses has starred in it, we all have those favorite movies. Here I have 12 must-see movies for the Christmas season. They're classics, they're new, they're funny, everybody knows them, everyone probably quotes them. So beginning with A Christmas Story, the 1983 version, all poor Ralphie wants for Christmas is a BB gun. Problem is, everyone thinks he'll shoot his eye out. Will he get his BB gun? You're going to have to tune in and watch it.
You'll have to check it out.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Number two, I've never watched this myself, but I've heard it's quite good, and there's a series out. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from 1989. Whenever your relatives are stressing you out, just remember how bad they could be if they were from Griswold. So to tune in and see who's the who and who's the what and what's going on in National Lampoon.
Family stress and what's going on.
Yeah, look for that on Netflix. I've never personally seen it, so I can't really attest to the crazy relatives of Griswold. Unless you've seen it.
Nope.
This one, we just watched last night, Ruby Joe, Santa Claus, 1994, with Tim Allen, when he magically changes from a regular Santa to a corporate meanie Santa.
I can't believe that came out in 1994.
Now, does that make you feel old?
I feel old, because I feel like I watched that when I was a kid,
yeah.
And it was, like, brand new, and now I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I'm still watching it, it's still good.
But that's a good movie. We got number four, Elf from 2003 with Will Ferrell.
That's a classic.
It's a classic. It's a good one to watch with the family. We got some Christmas drama classics. A Christmas Carol from 1938. It's a Wonderful Life, 1946. Miracle on 34th Street from 1947. And there's also a remake in 1994. I think 1994 will probably be your best bet, unless you're into the old movies.
Yeah.
Then we got A Charlie Brown Christmas from
classic.
1965.
Oh, I love that one.
Me too. This is my family's tradition. This is what we watch every Christmas. It's our movie, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from 1964.
That's the
little puppet ones.
One foot in front of the other?
No, that one's Santa Claus Coming to Town.
Oh,
Kris
yeah,
Kringle. Yeah, no, this is Rudolph.
All those little ones.
This one has the Abominable Snowman and the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yes.
Yeah. Then we got A Muppet Christmas Carol from 1992. And then at number 11, we got Scrooged with Bill Murray, Karen Allen, and that's it. I was thinking there was more people in that movie from what I remember. It's just Bill Murray and Karen Allen. But Bill Murray's a good bet.
Yeah.
Never can go wrong with Bill Murray. And then finally, we have How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay.
My favorite.
I love the cartoon, but I love the remake.
Jim Carrey.
Oh my gosh.
This one, it's listed under 2000. Jim Carrey's portrayal of the Grinch earned him a Golden Globe nomination, and the movie dominated the box office for 4 weeks in 2000, and it stands as the second highest grossing Christmas film of all time, only behind Home Alone. But for some reason, this movie doesn't get a lot of airplay on TV during the holidays. Perhaps it could be something about the tone of his voice, the darker side.
Yeah, because it's kind of a dark Christmas movie.
It's almost like A Nightmare Before Christmas.
But I love that movie. Oh my gosh. And
Nightmare
the Home
Before
Alone.
Christmas?
No, the Grinch Stole Christmas. I've never seen The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
I refuse to go on the ride at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's on the darker side of things. But I love Jim Carrey. And
yeah.
I do like Dr. Seuss. So I'm able to put up with it a little bit. I have a higher tolerance, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw out my favorite, A Year Without Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Because... That's my favorite with Heat Miser and Snow Miser.
Nope. That scared me as a kid.
That's
we used
my
to watch
favorite.
All the puppet
I could
movies.
Watch it all the time.
Yep, used to watch all the puppet movies, and that was the one movie that for years I was terrorized and would cry, and then middle school hit, and I just was over it. I had too many daunting memories.
Well, that's unfortunate because it's a good one.
I think it's funny for the girl who's like easily like frightened from like most scary things. I thought that was the scariest movie.
I consider myself heat miser.
Oh, and didn't you say Sarah Snow Miser?
Yeah, so it goes hand in hand. It's like a family gathering.
I could see that. I don't think there'd be much heat miser, snow miser in my household. It's more of just a me miser.
A me miser.
I'm me miser. All about me. And that kind of wraps up. My favorite movie that wasn't on this list but has appeared on ABC Family here and there is Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton, Angelina Jolie's ex.
I have never seen that one.
It came out in 2003. It's about a man who pretends to be the mall Santa Claus, goes to the malls, but he's really just a nasty guy. He smokes, drinks, just bad mouth, steals things, kind of just grungy and gross. And he befriends this really rich kid who doesn't really have parents. His parents are always gone, takes advantage of him, but then learns the true meaning of Christmas.
Oh, aren't
much
those
like every Christmas movie.
The heartwarming Christmas
It's
stories.
A comedy. It's heartwarming. It really gets you on the gut and in the heart. It's a good one. But that wraps up my movie. So if you guys haven't heard of any of those, make sure to check them out. If you've heard of them, make sure you rewatch them. And for those of your friends who don't know what these movies are, make sure you throw them in their face.
And watch them over and over again because it's Christmas time and it is time to watch Christmas.
And there is no such thing as too much Christmas movies.
There is no such thing.
I promise you that. I mean, whoever you show these movies to will thank you.
Yeah. Because I can watch Christmas movies all December now.
I want to watch Christmas movies in January. February and March and April and sometimes even July.
Okay, July, that is a little acceptable because it's Christmas in July is actually a thing, but I don't know, from January to July,
that's the rainy season. So when it's rainy and cold.
But Christmas just passed and then you're all depressed and you're like, oh, I have to wait a whole another year.
But for just for an hour, you can feel like Christmas is there. There's Christmas magic, I'm telling you. I feel
it.
I think
we can agree to disagree on watching Christmas music.
Agree
in
to
January
disagree.
To
I feel
July.
I feel the Christmas magic. I feel like
I think leading up from like July to December it's acceptable, but not after Christmas.
See, October, I just don't feel it. Okay. October, I feel like the ghosts. I like watching spooky stuff.
Okay, yeah. Okay, November, as soon as November and
November,
October is done.
November is December.
Yeah.
It's December.
Like, I got like bad mouth for putting on Christmas socks like 2 days before Thanksgiving. I was like, okay, whatever, I'm just gonna wear my Christmas
haters
socks.
Are gonna hate. I think after it's Thanksgiving, it's fair play. It's already December after Thanksgiving anyway.
There you go.
I mean, people are Christmas shopping. What do you think Black Friday was invented for?
Christmas shopping.
Exactly. Speaking of, for my technology segment, I have the best gadgets for him or her this holiday season. You're stumped about what to get your mom, dad, sister, brother, boyfriend, girlfriend, or even your long-lost aunt you don't keep in touch with but have to buy a Christmas present for because your mother forces you to. These are the who's who's and the what's what's. First on my list are laptops. Apple has come out with these new slick models. I couldn't tell you the specific models because there's so many numbers and
there's
versions,
so many different models.
Versions and colors and all that crap, but Apple has got an array of laptops. Let me tell you, I was just in the Apple stores and they got the slick little pro looking things, the slick looking Airs. Everything is super slick. There's a big price tag on it, but if you got a loved one who needs it and you don't mind spending that little cash money, it's the way to go. Next is the iPad. I just recently purchased an iPad mini. Super great, super sleek. I think it's one step better than an iPhone, two steps below a laptop, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
in
nice.
Betweener.
It's like you don't have to carry it in your pocket all the time, but if you want to like watch your TV show or play a game, you still have a nice big screen without having to yank out a laptop or pull out your tiny little iPhone. So I think those are great. You can use them for anything. If you're an Apple fan, you can sync it up with anything. It's great. And if you buy them, you get $50 gift cards with your iPad purchase. I got a $50 gift card. It was pretty
there
great.
You know.
Yeah, I thought it was
might
pretty
awesome.
Might as well. Might as well. Along with that, there are the tablets. And then these are pretty cool. Smartwatches. They are like little touchscreen Apple or Google watches.
Oh, yeah, we saw one of those the other night.
Yep, and you can like talk. You can like receive text messages on them, listen to your music, calendar, alarms, everything. Super cool. Everyone pretty much would like those, especially I feel like the men out there, men and boys. Another thing that I feel like everyone loves this season are GoPros.
Oh, those GoPros are a hit
and
right
the accessories.
Now.
I know GoPro just came out with the Hero 3. It's a Hero 3 slick and silver. And all the gadgets that go with it are so much fun. There's like chest straps and helmet straps and arm straps and surfboard straps and You name it, there's a strap for it. I guarantee it. And next on the list, the Bluetooth speakers. There's the Dre Pill, the Bose speakers.
All the Bluetooth is really important.
Bluetooth
now.
Speakers, they're portable, easy to go with. Anyone's phone can hook up to it. It's good for getting ready. I know me and Ruby Joe over here, we put on our little Bluetooth speakers and listen to music while we're getting ready, making dinner, cleaning, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's very on. Convenient because you can bring your phone with you and you can still hold
your
phone.
You can bring the speaker to the beach.
You can bring the speaker to the beach.
To a party. To class, you can bring it pretty much anywhere. My teacher yesterday used a portable Bluetooth speaker. Very cool. Fitness trackers are also something that are hot on the market right now. Track your steps throughout the day, see what's going on. And then finally, the Bose Quiet Comfort earphones. You put them on, you can't hear anything around you. They're airtight around your ears, but you can just really, you can engage in what's going on.
Wow.
And that wraps up our little tech best gadget gifts.
That wraps up the tech?
Yeah, that wraps up the tech.
Wow.
I know. Do you know what you're going to get your family this holiday season?
Wow. That's a tricky one. I actually have no idea.
Really?
I have no idea. Like, not even one idea has popped into my mind right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of sad, I think.
Wow. Well, that kind of wraps up our show, though, would you say?
It's
really sad. I feel like we've come such a long way, and it doesn't even feel like our last show.
It doesn't feel like our last show.
No, but huge thanks to our two teachers and mentors, Stu and Leona.
Thank you so much for helping us this semester. We've grown so much since freshman year.
You've given us the confidence. You've given us lots of room to be creative, but you also have kind of bumpered us through. And without you guys, I don't think we would have had this confidence to be up here bantering back and forth.
Up here, yeah.
Yeah, you guys really helped us flourish and helped us develop this show, and we're so grateful for you guys. It's going to be so weird not coming back next semester. We got Ruby Joe going to Ireland.
Woo!
It's going to be so weird, but make sure you stay tuned for next fall. Ruby Joe and I will be back.
We will be back and ready to go.
And we will be ready to go, and we can hear about Ruby Joe's oh-so-amazing adventures in Ireland.
Oh, I'll be so delighted to share with you all.
I know. Maybe you'll have a new Irish man.
You know, I'm just crossing my fingers.
You never know. I mean, anything is possible. It is the most wonderful time of the year.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
I would say it is. So for all of our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to us. It was so great.
It's final show of the season.
I know. It was so fun having people listen to us. It's so cool. I mean, it's one thing to not have listeners, and it's one thing to have too many listeners, but it's been such a journey, I feel like.
It has been quite the amazing journey.
Yes.
Harper.
Yes, Ruby. Well, that is it for us. I am Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
And you're listening to Good Day from the Bay.
Only on radio.dominican.edu.
We will see you later. Happy holidays, San Rafael.
Happy holidays.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Time. Can I kill it with you? Till the very